How many of us are old enough to remember the old TV comedy about the long-running feud between the Hatfields and the McCoys? Well, real-life feuds are anything but funny. The best part about a feud is when it ends, when forgiveness terminates the acrimony and hatred. The Bible's account of Joseph and his estranged family points the way for those of us trapped in family feuds. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer's current series is on When You've Been Wronged. Today's topic is Seeing God in Injustice. Turn to Genesis chapter 50 as Dr. Lutzer finishes the story of Joseph and his brothers, a model of reconciliation.
It says, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they come and they say, please, please don't pay us back. What does Joseph do when this happens? It says, Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Joseph was saying, do you mean to tell me, knowing me now for 17 years, do you mean to tell me that you think that I would retaliate against you? He cries just thinking of the fact that his brothers would think that he would do such a thing. So his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil, he said, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people. And now I'm going to provide for you and your livestock and your families. What Joseph is saying is, do you expect me to retaliate? You know what he's saying, don't you? When you and I retaliate, and some of us don't retaliate maybe because we can't retaliate, it's unrealistic, or we might end up in a place where reminiscent of where Joseph was for 2 years. But in our minds we do. Oh, if I could just get him, I would just love to just see him. Oh, like that. You'd retaliate if you could, but you're restrained by certain restraints, outer restraints. But Joseph says, am I in the place of God? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, if I were to retaliate, I'd be elbowing God out of the way and saying, God, get out of here. Let me do this. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will recompense, says the Lord. So you want to be in the place of God. You actually want to take over and do his business for him, huh? Joseph said, I'm not in the place of God. My dear friend, today there are situations that you and I don't need to sort out. We don't need to retaliate, because we're not in the place of God. I have three lessons that I want to leave you with today. The first is this, that time does not heal family feuds. Time does not heal family feuds. 30-some years went by since they sold him, and the brothers are still thinking that Joseph might retaliate. What if the brothers would have said to themselves, well, you know, it's so long, maybe he's forgotten what we did to him back then. Oh, are you kidding? So you promise somebody some money. It's been 7 years now and you haven't paid. You could have, but maybe he's forgotten that I promised him that I'd give him the money. Are you kidding me? Family feuds are never resolved through time. You know how most family feuds are resolved? I won't talk to you, you won't talk to me. If we send Christmas cards, it'll be these printed ones that just say John and Sally, and that's it. And you go your way, and I go mine, and we just don't talk. That's the way most family feuds are settled or unsettled. Always there has to be confrontation and resolution. Now you say, but I know a family member, I can't settle with them because of A, B, C, D. That's possible. Then from your heart, you have to forgive. Do you know that about 9 out of 10 people who have hurt you don't even know that they've done it? If you were to go to them and say, you know, I don't forgive you for the hurt that you caused me. Hurt? What do you mean? Oh, because of that? No big deal. You know, I just can't believe that you're even mentioning it. So what we have to do is from our hearts forgive, even when reconciliation is beyond reach. And as I say, we will talk about reconciliation in another message. Second, bitterness is the enemy of faith. Bitterness and faith can't coexist. Let me tell you why. You know what bitterness is saying, don't you? It's saying two things about God. Number one, there's no possibility that God could have a purpose in this. None whatever. This is just of the devil, and the day it happened, clearly, God was on vacation. He wasn't watching over his world. He was just simply letting it happen, and there can be no good that comes out of this. Not even God can use this. That's the first thing that bitterness is saying. Second thing that it's saying is that there's no way that God is going to even the score. No way that there's going to be a final judgment when all of the truth is going to come out at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. No way. If the score is to be evened, justice demands it, and I want to do it. See, that's why lawsuits, and there is a message coming in this series on lawsuits too, is so despicable among Christians. Because what lawsuits are saying is, I have been done an injustice and I cannot wait for God to settle this. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to try to settle it on my own. But I could tell you horrendous stories of the results of those kinds of responses. So bitterness is the enemy of faith. It steals all your faith and it steals your joy. It is an awful enemy. Third, forgiveness is an act. Listen carefully. Forgiveness is an act of self-healing. It's an act of self-healing and reclaiming your life. It's an act of self-healing. You see, what happens when we don't forgive is God just stands back and says, oh, you're going to do my work for me, aren't you? You're going to take care of this situation in your own way, to the extent that you can, and you're going to allow it to dominate you and control you, fine. Do with it as you may. So every kind of heartache comes to us, and we find ourselves in that prison. God says, look, if you want me to take care of this, if you genuinely want me to take care of this, I will. And in the process, you'll be free, and you'll be healed. In his excellent book on total forgiveness, R.T. Kendall says this. I wrote it down last night. The greater the hurt, the greater the blessing when forgiveness comes. The greater the hurt, the greater the blessing when forgiveness comes. You are bitter. You are the loser. You are the loser. So what this means is to just lay it all down. You know, there have been times in my own life when I've had to apply this message. In fact, I'll tell you something interesting. Preparing this message, God worked me over. I thought I had forgiven everybody. After all, I'm the pastor of Moody Church. That's part of the territory, right? And I began to look at this and began to say, you know, that's not true here. That's not true here. And God worked me over. And the way I have to do this is it takes time in the presence of God to just go through every root, every thought that I've had against others, every desire to retaliate, and pull those things out root by root and give them to God. Some of you are going to find this very, very difficult. But when you've come through the other side, the chains will fall off. They'll fall onto the floor and say, I'm free. Free to be blessed. Free to be fruitful. You know, there's a connection between your body and bitterness. R.T. Kendall also, in his book at the end, tells an interesting story of a woman who was in a traffic accident, and because of that, her neck was so severely damaged, she had to be in a neck brace, and because she could not turn her head, she was denied a driver's license for 22 years. Somebody said to her, well, did you forgive the driver who went through the red light? Oh, yeah, sure, I've forgiven him. Isn't that the way most Christians answer? Cutting the weeds off at ground level? Yeah, forgiven him. This person said, have you ever blessed them? Have you ever prayed that God would bless them? She says, no, never done that. Well, that's what you're to do. So she began to pray prayers of blessing. Now, this is what the book says, okay? This comes from a Baptist church in England. At the moment the woman began to bless the person responsible for the accident, she discovered that her neck was healed. And the book was written a year after, and the healing was still there. What do you want to do today? Do you want to get out of your prison? Do you want to lay it all down? Do you want to be free? I've said what I intended to say. Now it's all between you and God. I can do nothing more. This is Pastor Lutzer, and it's true. I can do nothing more. Even as I'm speaking to you today, I am praying in my heart that God is going to give you the grace and me the grace to be able to lay it down, to take all of the bitterness and to simply pour it out at the foot of the cross, and then walk away free from our prisons. And today I may be speaking to someone who has harbored bitterness and anger and resentment all of these years. And you feel today that you can't give it up, because if you do, somehow you are compromising justice, or you are minimizing what somebody has done against you. No, you are not. You are simply committing the matter to Jesus Christ. You are saying that you so trust God to do right by you that you are willing to wait for justice until the final day. This much I know, that it is God's will that you be free today, and I'm going to end today by praying that that will happen. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for the many who have listened to this message, that you will give them the grace at this moment to lay down the bitterness that they experience in their hearts. I ask, Father, that those who have done things against us, that have lodged within us, that we might be free in opening our lives and saying, Jesus, take total control, and we trust you so implicitly that we are willing to give up our hurts and our bitternesses, believing that in the end, you will do right. For your holy word says, vengeance is mine. I will recompense, says the Lord. May thousands of people who have listened to this broadcast today be free. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Family Feuds, Seeing God in Injustice. The fourth of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Tomorrow, see what happens when we find ourselves dodging spears. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. To learn about dodging some spears, join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.